every Packer fan on the planet Earth should get information about the Green Bay Packers from Jason Woolley every day of the year. Not because they want it. It's because they need it. We do our part. 94.5 ESPN. It's taken me a while to get the perfect intro. That, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and gifted animals, is the perfect interview. Good afternoon, Jason.
Perfect intro. You didn't even call it the right thing.
That's true. It's an intro. Nicely done. You're Tony's not here, but you're, yes. I was so happy with what it is, I forgot the exact word. And I was still thinking about Oz Perlman. Because I apologized before he came on. I said I was going to watch Hard Knocks, and I didn't last night. Because I watched it a week ago, and I was so bored after 30 minutes, I just turned it off. It's a bunch of football players talking. There's nothing there other than mentalist Oz Perlman. I still have not recovered from his performance. How did he do those?
That was pretty amazing. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he did it.
Now, the Rodgers thing, Rodgers had to be in on it. You can't turn a deck of cards into a piece of glass or plastic with a goldfish in it, right? Rodgers had to be in on it.
I have no idea.
He had to know that
a good magician doesn't tell his secrets.
No, I know he doesn't, but he had to feel the difference between a deck of cards and a piece of plastic or glass, right? I mean, you agree. I don't know if people can watch it.
I don't know.
And then how
it's on demand. I mean,
yeah, because I wanted people to tell me.
I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere by now.
It was fantastic.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I want to see him again. But so I guess I'll have to watch.
Maybe you can have him to your. Maybe you can, you'll do a. You do a lot of charity work. Maybe a charity will book him.
I think he's too expensive.
He was entertaining as heck, man. I was impressive.
Yeah, and then Penn and Teller kind of explained how mentalists do some of the stuff. So given the kind of things they said to watch for or give you an idea, they made it clear, which, of course, should come as a surprise to no one, that he's not a mentalist.
What do you mean?
They're magic tricks. That's what they are. He has no ability to figure out and know ahead of time what you're thinking. Zero. I'm just quoting Penn and Teller.
It was pretty impressive.
I know.
The New York Jets have the magic trick on NewYorkJets.com. So if anyone wants to look up what Homer's talking about.
Do they have all the different things he did? He did the magic trick, but then he also got a player to tell him to pick and to know what jersey number he would have, if not his. And then he also had someone who picked the Super Bowl and who the Jets would play and the final score would be.
Yeah, the only one I see, I just Googled it, but the only one I see right now is of him with the card trick with Aaron Rodgers.
So are you as bored by Hard Knocks as I was?
I liked it better yesterday. I was bored the second episode with you. You know, then we finally got the guy, you know, the against the odds roster guy, although even that guy's been on the roster for 4 years, so he's not really an against-the-odds roster guy. He's maybe not a guy who plays much.
All right.
But,
no,
you know, and Randall Cobb and I have had a really good relationship for a really long time, so I was happy to see some of his story being told. So that was good, but, yeah, it's been kind of boring, no doubt about it.
All right, let's get to the Packers. Mark Murphy spoke. Are you aware of anything that he said in this half-hour interview with the comedian or whatever that guy's?
Yeah, Tom Grossi is a New York comedian who's been featured on BuzzFeed, NBC, RollingStone.com. He's best recognized for his self-titled YouTube channel where he posts NFL reaction and prediction videos. He often combines sports and comedy interests into his original sketches and everything like that. He's got almost about 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. But he had Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy on a few days ago just talking about Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, Jordan Love.
All right, let's do the chip on the shoulder, thing about this year's team.
This year's team, he thinks the 2023 Packers have a chip on their shoulders.
You hit the head. That's the fans. The uncertainty comes with excitement. I think the other thing I've noticed with our team, I think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulders in that, you know, we're picked to finish either last in the division or third, and nobody's given us a chance. I think they want to kind of stay under the radar but prove people wrong.
Uncertainty comes with excitement. That's crap. But are they good enough to have a chip on their shoulder, or is it just that everybody has a chip on their shoulder? I don't know that they've accomplished enough to have a chip on their shoulder. Take it away, Jason.
Well, yeah, they're not they're offended, maybe, or think that the predictions are wrong. But like, chip on the shoulder is when you, and maybe they do. Maybe they think they're being unfairly cast as a team that is rebuilding and that isn't going to win more games than it loses this season. Just because Aaron Rodgers could effectively navigate having a chip on his shoulder and using it to his advantage does not mean that a team with this many young people on it is going to take, you know, the chip on the shoulder thing. Like, they haven't been snubbed. People have looked at their youth and what they've moved on from in terms of their roster and have predicted that they're going to be at the bottom of the division. But, you know, are they able to then say, I told you so, if they finish ahead of the Bears and the Vikings but miss the playoffs? Like, is that a moral victory for them? Like,
right.
I don't know.
But if they have a great season, I'm going to be the first one to say it's amazing. If they make the playoffs, there's not a number high enough. They get an A++++. They got a grade so good on their test, they did it before they even saw the test. They knew the answers. They pulled an Oz Perlman. They will be as amazing as Oz Perlman if they make the playoffs. You want to join that club?
Well, I do think that they've got a not the most daunting schedule. I think they've got they're in one of the lesser divisions in football, and definitely the lesser conference.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be this year's Seattle, where they sneak in at 9-8. You didn't see it coming. I don't love the idea of Detroit being a favorite. I mean, I understand that maybe that's just bias because they haven't been good for a long time. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. So for all their, you know, winning the last game and whatever else, not sure how good they are either. So I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility where it would be utterly stunning, but I think it's highly unlikely. And again, here's my thing. And first of all, I think Mark Murphy was doing material there because Tausch said that this is exactly what Mark Murphy said to him at that golf outing for the Boys and Girls Club up in Door County. So he's recycling stuff with Tom Grossi or recycling stuff at this event from Tom Grossi. But if this is what we're excited about, that there are less expectations and, you know, that they're flying under the radar, that's great because it's different, but you better not hope that lasts very long because you don't want to be the team that's always flying under the radar trying to prove you don't stink. So, you know, and maybe it's just me from being around here for so long, and maybe I'm being the grumpy old man now, but like, I don't know. Is it really that exciting just because it's different that there aren't high expectations being put on you? Or would you rather be the team that everybody thinks has a shot at making a Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, I think it's crap. Andy Reid had all those years and never really got it done in Philly. Would you rather have had them rebuilding? Hell no. I want a shot every year. And when you've had a shot every year and you don't have a shot, you're bummed. But
yeah, winning games is fun.
Yeah.
And look, you know, Goody says we're about winning championships. He made that very clear, right? Well, if that's what they're about, then part of it is that's why we're taking this gap year. I mean, if you're not listening to what Brian Gutekunst has said now in the last several weeks about the approach to this season, then I can't help you. Like, he's basically, without flat out saying it, told you, hey, playoffs, that's a bonus, but we're looking at 24 and 25. We have to give them room to get better.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yeah, I can't help you. Pebble, make sure you have that one down. I think not directed towards
Sorry, me. I was on my headphones, and then my car picked up the audio. No. My point is that if he's saying those types of things, what I don't understand is, like, you're acknowledging the obvious, and I appreciate that. I'm glad, but I feel like fans don't hear what he's trying to say. That's all. Like, if I'm listening to him, he's making it very clear to me. Look, we're going to do the best we can, but I purposely am not adding players that can help us win this year because I want these guys to have the opportunity to grow through their mistakes so we can be a championship team. And we think by paying the short-term price of them playing a lot now and not playing well all the time and making a bunch of mistakes will bring us that much closer to winning a title. He said, I want to win. We want to win championships. We don't want to just win some games. So he's basically saying that that's what he's willing to sacrifice. The idea of a season where you win some games, but you're not a championship contender, which he's tacitly acknowledging, that this is worth it. The price, the cost of doing business is worth doing it this way.
Now, I want to mention, we've gone on Twitter, and Tony said every question, it's going to be about 70% because fans don't want to hear what he's trying to say. I think it was Eisen who said, Jordan Love is really freaking good. Do you agree or disagree? Now, even 53% said that they agree with that. And then we had, can the Packers win a Super Bowl in the next few years with Jordan Love at quarterback? 73% agree. And Tony said, just about everything regarding Jordan Love is probably going to get 77% because people want to believe that. So, but that's why we're here to try to tell them, give them the information. And then they can still be as positive as they want to be. But that doesn't mean that we have to sell it that way if we don't believe it. All right. This one,
yeah, I don't believe those things.
By the way, I should hate Twitter. Do you think Homer is smart? 52% say yes. 48% say no. That was, Jason, simply a follow-up to our first question. Do you think Mark Murphy is smart? He's up to 69%, and 31% say he's dumb, which I said is stupid. Everything he's done in his life would give you an indication that he's smart or people think he's smart. Law school, he was the player rep.
There are different types of intelligence.
Oh. Yeah,
there are different types of intelligence. I mean, he is dumb when he says things he shouldn't say.
Okay. All right. Why do you
that
think
is definitely dumb.
Why do you think he does that?
Because he has no filter and he wants to be a stand. I'm sure the reason he likes Tom Grossi is because inside he thinks he's a stand-up comedian himself. He always wants to be the funny guy. He always wants the jokes, and he loves getting people to laugh. So God bless him. But he's not as funny as Tom Grossi.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I figured if you're president, I can say whatever I want, and I'm president, so.
I don't think it's that. No, okay. I think like Ted used to tell me, he's a complicated fellow. We got to get to Chippewa Falls. he thinks he's funny. And I think you have to be realistic about your self-evaluation. I would also say.
So maybe I should send him a note saying I'd like to write his material. How do you think he'd respond?
Well, he could use some help. I would say.
Okay.
The one thing that and I think very highly of Rich Eisen, and I don't have any problem with him being excited, but he doesn't freaking know if Jordan Love's going to be pretty freaking good. He doesn't know that because the Packers don't know that. They don't, and so he can't possibly know. So
I should ask him why.
Today or yesterday, he did not have a very good practice at all. Today he had a okay practice. Certainly didn't bounce back with some sort of banner day in the 150-degree temperature. So, again, it is a process. And if he turns out to be really freaking good, awesome, because that's going to make these guys relevant and successful, and maybe we'll be covering another Super Bowl. I don't think we're going to be doing that in a three-year span. Sorry. That said, Aaron Rodgers was in his third year as the starter when they went to Super Bowl 45. They also were one more loss away from not even making the playoffs. So that is the margin for error in the National Football League.
Any other thing from practice today that I neglected to get to in letting you listen to Mark Murphy? He also had a long comment about moving on from Favre and moving on from Rodgers, which I would like you to listen to as well. Maybe I'll ask you about it tomorrow. He said basically there's some similarity, and I said, yeah, because in both cases, I think the Packers were ready to move on, but that's for tomorrow. What? Anything else in practice?
That is true. No, I mean, it was really hot. Anders Carlson didn't kick today after going 2-for-6 yesterday. So there was, Sean Clifford had another successful two-minute drive. So that was interesting, that's for sure. But beyond that, pretty lame final practice. Jordan Love did stay for a really long time, signing autographs and taking pictures and high-fiving people. I maintain he is a really good dude, just like Aaron Rodgers when he ascended to the job was a really good dude.
But then what happened to Aaron Rodgers? My last question.
I don't think he's a bad dude now.
No, but he's not the same really good dude. He's not the same really good dude. You would agree.
I think he's going through a phase in his life where he's not, he's still working through exactly what he is and isn't.
Oh, okay. Right.
So, no, I'm not ready to write him off just
yet.
I'm
not writing him off. He's got a lot of cat. Yeah. He has one time when he was an incredibly nice guy. And then this time has been like, I don't know what happened. He's not the same. And he could have another area where all of a sudden he becomes that guy from the first period again. But he clearly hasn't been that person. What?
Well, if you're watching Hard Knocks, though, if you're watching Hard Knocks, he looks like a great guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I have an explanation for this. That's how it's been in all his relationships, too. Clearly, it worked fine at the beginning. How long before they get tired of him or he gets tired of them? I guess we should. And if you want to know how long it's going to last with the Jets, somebody should interview all his girlfriends. They'll know. They'll tell
you. Danica Patrick, next on Homer and Tony.
There you go. Not me. You could do it. But I think they would know. Oh, don't you think they could give you good information about Danica? How long is it going to last? I guarantee you she's got an answer. I'm not sure she'll give it to you publicly or the other ones. Don't you think they would know how long it's going to last?
I do. Yeah. I think that they would be able to give the relationship arc timeline very effectively. No doubt about it.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Yeah, I can't help you. If you don't agree with it and haven't figured it out yet, I can't help you. Next.